ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، and to continue with Sharh Sunnah of Imam Al-Barbahari rahimahullah, then last time we had points number 68 and 69. Firstly, with regard to Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, the night journey and the ascent through the heavens of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we had from the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafizahullah that this was from the miracles of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something that he performed through the ability of Allah the Most High. Allah the Most High took him on the night journey and up through the heavens. Allah caused him, caused that to occur as a miracle for Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he mentioned that the word al-Isra means a journey by night, here referring to the journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. And then the word al-Mi'raj means an ascent, here referring to the ascent of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up through all of the heavens, and then to the Father's Lotus Tree, to where Allah the Most High wished to take him, and that he heard Allah's speech, and that there Allah the Most High spoke to him and made the five daily prayers obligatory upon him, and showed him that he entered paradise, and he showed him the fire, caused him to see the fire and the angels and whatever was within the heavens and the earth. And then he returned to Mecca in that same night, being accompanied all that time by Jibreel alayhi salam. And this is referred to in Surah Al-Isra, the 17th surah, at the start of the surah, first ayat of the surah, and also in Surah Al-Najm, 53rd surah, ayat 18. And we had point number 69 with regard to the souls of the martyrs, the shuhada, those who die fighting in Allah's cause. They are in green birds in paradise, going forth and returning as they wish in paradise, and returning back to lanterns hanging beneath the arsh, the throne. And as for the souls of the disbelievers, then they are within Sijjin. Then Imam Al-Barbahari rahimahullah, he continued on what occurs here on page 369 as point number 70, that Imam Al-Barbahari rahimahullah, he said, والإيمان بأن الميت يقعد في قبره وترسل فيه الروح حتى يسأله منكر ونكير عن الإيمان وشرائعه ثم تسل روحه بلا ألم ويعرف الميت الزائر إذا زاره ويتنعم المؤمن في القبر ويعذب الفاجر كيف شاء الله. He said, and to have iman that the deceased will be made to sit up in his grave, and his soul will be restored to him, in order that Munkar and Nakir should question him about iman and its required duties. Then his soul will be gently removed from him without any pain, and the deceased recognizes the one who visits him, and the deceased recognizes the one who visits him when he visits him. And the believer will experience bliss in the grave, and the wicked will be punished as Allah wishes. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation of these two points, points number 70 and 71, he said his saying, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ الْمَيِّتَ يُقْأَلُ فِي قَبْرِهِ. He's saying, and to have iman that the deceased will be made to sit up in his grave. He said, it is obligatory to have iman that the deceased will be made to sit up in his grave, and his soul will be restored to his body, and two angels will come to him. One of them is Munkar, and the other is An-Nakir. So they will both question him. And this is al-fitnatu fil qabr. This is the trial in the grave. And it is the most severe thing that will come upon the deceased. If he is saved from this trial, then he will be saved from that which comes after it. And if he is not saved from this trial, then he will be destroyed. There will be no salvation for him. The two of them will ask him about three matters. Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? So the believer will say, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah. Whereas the munafiq, the hypocrite, will say, la adri, I do not know. Then they will say to him, ma dinuk, what is your religion? So the believer will say, my religion is al-Islam. Whereas the hypocrite and the doubter will say, la adri, I do not know. Then they will say to him, Man Nabiyuk, who is your prophet? So the believer will reply, my prophet is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whereas the hypocrite will say, la adri, I do not know. And just as a small side point, then Shaykh al-Suhaymi, in his explanation, in his lessons on this, he mentions this will be the answer of the hypocrite and the doubter, I do not know. Even if in this world he knew the answer, if in this world the hypocrite knew what a Muslim says, but he will not be able to say it on that day. The only one who will be able to say that answer will be the true believer. Even the hypocrite who knew what the answer is in this life, he will not be able to say it on that day. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, so the believer will have his grave extended wide for him, and he will have bedding provided for him from paradise, and a door will be opened for him leading to paradise, and its pleasant wind and pleasant fragrance will come upon him, and he will experience bliss in his grave. Whereas the kafir, the disbeliever, and the hypocrite, his grave will be restricted upon him, and he will be given bedding from the fire, and a door to the fire will be opened for him, and its heat and its poisonous wind will come upon him. Again, as a small side point here, then you can find all of this mentioned in the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhumah, reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 1369, and reported by Muslim as hadith 2871 in abridged form, and in longer form by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and by Abu Dawood in his Sunan, as hadith 4753. And also on this side point here, as for the angels being named as Munkar and Nakir, Then that occurs in a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, reported by Tirmidhi, hadith 1071, declared authentic by Shaykh al-Albani, with the wording, so hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the deceased is placed in his grave, or he said, one of you, is placed in his grave, then two angels, black, blue, come to him. One of them is called Al-Munkar, and the other is called An-Nakir. The hadith. Back to the explanation of Shaykh Al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, then he said, in the continuation here, and this is the meaning of his saying, وَتُرْسَلُ فِيهِ الرُّوحُ وَتُرْسَلُ فِيهِ الرُّوحُ حَتَّى يَسْأَلَهُ مُنْكَرٌ وَنَكِيرٌ عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ وَشَرَائِهِ. And his soul will be restored to him, so that Munkar and Nakir can ask him about Iman, about true faith, and about its legislated duties. Again, a small side point here, when Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah, he said in his explanation on this point that they will ask about Iman and about its shara'i, its legislated laws or legislated duties. And Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi said, perhaps what he intended by this questioning, or perhaps what he intended by this is the general questioning. In the general questions that we've already heard, who is your Lord, what's your religion, who is your Prophet? He said, because I do not know anything from the Sunnahs which indicates that there will be questions about the details of Islam and Iman. About that. I don't know anything authentic in the Sunnah that the angels will ask about the detailed details of Islam and Iman. But rather, just the questions will be about in general, who's your Lord, who's your Prophet, what is your religion. And likewise on the point that came, ثُمَّ تُرْسَلُ أو ثُمَّ تُسَلُّ رُوحُهُ بِلَا أَلَمْ. Then his soul will be taken out of him again without any pain. And when questions are finished, his soul will be gently taken out of him without any pain. On this point, again, Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, bila alam, without any pain, he said, meaning without the pain which occurred for him at his first death. When he died, then he experienced the pain of death. But here, at this point, when the angels, when they questioned him, then his soul is taken out again. Second, then he will not at that point experience the pain of death there. And his soul is taken again from him. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said in his explanation, his saying, وَيَعْرِفُ الْمَيِّتُ الزَّائِرَ إِذَا زَارَهُمْ. And the deceased recognizes the one who visits him when he visits him. The deceased recognizes or is aware of the one who visits him when he visits him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and therefore it is legislated to visit the graves, because the deceased takes comfort in the presence of the one who visits him. And this is from the affairs of the barzakh, the intermediate period, in that period in between the life of this world and the life of the hereafter, the barzakh, intermediate, the barrier period. We do not know about the affairs of the hereafter and the affairs of the intermediate period except what is established by proof, because it is from the ilm al-ghayb, it is from the knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, which is not known except by Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And it is not to be derived from this that anything can be requested from the deceased, such that it is said, since he knows the one who comes to him, then why shouldn't we request what we need from him? Shaykh Fawzan said, we say, this was not legislated by Allah the Perfect and Most High. Nothing may be requested from the deceased. The companions, the Sahaba, the companions had not used to request anything from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he was alive in his grave sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a life of the barzakh, a life of the intermediate period, not the life of this world. And also a small side point here before carrying on, and again Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah, he said with regard to this point, وَيَعْرِفُ الْمَيِّتُ الزَّائِرُ, and the deceased, I mean the deceased in the grave, he recognizes the one who visits him, he recognizes and is aware of the one who visits him. Shaykh Ahmad said, this is based upon the authenticity of the hadith which occurs about that, but there is disagreement about its authenticity with regard to what I know. As far as I know, there's disagreement about its authenticity. Then they mention in the footnotes, the verifier Khalid al-Radadi said, there are a number of ahadith which mention that the deceased recognizes the one who visits him when he visits him and takes comfort from his visit. However, nothing from them is authentic. Nothing from them is authentic. None of these narrations are authentic. And finally on this point, likewise, Sheikh Saleh al-Sahimi, hafidhahullah, he said in his explanation, this is something which I do not know any proof for. In the point that the deceased in the grave, he recognizes one who visits him. Sheikh al-Sahimi said, this is something which I do not know any proof for. Rather, what is indicated by the proof is just that he hears the footsteps, in the footsteps of those who depart after they are buried. That's all that we know in authentic texts, that the deceased hears their footsteps whilst departing. We don't know any more than that. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he finished this point by saying, he's saying, وَيَتَنَعَّمُ الْمُؤْمِنُ فِي الْقَبْرِ وَيُعَذَّبُ الْفَاجِرُ كَيْفَ شَاءَ اللَّهُ, and the believer will experience bliss in the grave, and the wicked will be punished however Allah wishes. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, from the fundamentals of Iman, true faith, is to have Iman in the punishment of the grave and in its bliss, contrary to the Mu'tazila, those who deny this. They say the deceased in his grave is just the same as when we placed him in it. He receives no torment and no bliss. Basing this, or relying in this, upon their intellects and what they see and their own thinking, and they do not believe in the ghayb, in the hidden and the unseen. The Shaykh said, I mean, as we heard when Shaykh Farah, hafidhahullah, was here, he said what they say is, meaning they say, look, if we open a grave up and we look at the deceased, we don't see anything. We don't see him in any enjoyment, or we don't see anything from paradise there, and we don't see the opposite. We don't see any fire, and we don't see any of the like of that. So therefore they deny it. They say we rely upon what we can see and physically experience, and we don't see any of that, so they deny it. So as Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they do not believe in the ghayb here. They do not believe in the hidden and unseen. Then he said, an analogy is not to be made between this world and the hereafter, or between the hereafter and this world. So it is upon you to have Iman, true faith, in the ghayb, the hidden and the unseen. In other words, yes. Meaning that just because if we open a grave up, we don't see anything happening in that grave, it doesn't mean that we deny that he has been punished or feeling bliss. Shaykh Fawzan said, and the punishment of the grave and the bliss of the grave is established. Indeed, it is mutawatir in the ahadith. It's something that occurs every level of transmission in narrations, which are so many, that every level of transmission, there are so many people who report it, that it's impossible they could have got together and lied upon him. It's not a word to. That the deceased will either be punished in his grave, or otherwise he will experience bliss. So whoever denies the punishment of the grave, and he knows of the texts, and he knows of the proofs, then he is a kafir. He is a disbeliever. But as for the one who denies it on account of ta'wil, wrong interpretation, or taqleed, just blindly following somebody else in that saying, or al-jahl, or ignorance, he's ignorant of it, then this person, the truth is to be made clear to him. And if he then persists, after it has been clearly explained, then he is judged to be a disbeliever. As for the next point, point number 72, then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الَّذِي كَلَّمَ مُوسَى بْنَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ يَوْمَ الطُّورِ وَمُوسَى يَسْمَعُ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْكَلَامَ بِصَوْتٍ وَقَعَ فِي مَسَامِئِهِ مِنْهُ لَا مِنْ غَيْرِهِ فَمَنْ قَالَ غَيْرَ هَذَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. He said, and to have iman, to have true faith, that it is Allah who spoke to Musa ibn Imran alayhi salatu wassalam on the day of At-Tur, on the day of the mountain At-Tur, and Musa heard Allah's speech, which was with a voice which he heard from him, not from other than him. So whoever says other than this has disbelieved in Allah the Tremendous. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said in explanation, affirming kalam, affirming speech for Allah the Majestic and Most High, is from the fundamentals of the aqidah, the creed and belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that Allah speaks with real speech. Jibreel heard him, and Musa alayhi salam heard him when he, meaning Musa alayhi salam, when he went towards the fire to take a firebrand. Meaning Musa alayhi salam went out on that long journey of his, and he saw in the night, he saw a fire in the distance. So when he went towards the fire to take a burning torch, a firebrand, he found that Allah, the Perfect and Most High, spoke to him from the tree, from the bush, just as Allah mentioned in the Quran. And Musa heard his speech. Allah, the Majestic and Most High, said, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا, Surah Al-Nisa, the 4th Surah, I-164. With the explanation, and Allah spoke directly to Musa, and Allah spoke to Musa with speech. وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ, Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, I-143. With the explanation, and when Musa came to our appointed place, and his Lord spoke to him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this was the second time when Allah promised him, when Allah promised him that he would give him the Tawrat. So Musa went to the appointed place, and his Lord spoke to him and gave him the tablets with the Tawrat written upon them. So Musa heard the speech of Allah and the Perfect and Most High. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and he, meaning Allah the Most High, and he spoke to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night of the Mi'raj, on the night of the night ascent. And he made the 5 daily prayers obligatory upon him. So Allah the Majestic and Most High speaks with speech that is heard, وَبِحَرْفٍ وَصَوْتٍ, and with letters and a voice. And he said, as for the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, these 2 deviant sects, the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, then they say, Allah does not speak. Then he mentions the reason that they give. He said, because if we were to affirm speech for him, then we would be causing him to resemble the created beings. Because the created being speaks. Shaykh Fawzan responded to this by saying, and is analogy to be made between the speech of Allah and the speech of the created being? There is a difference between the speech of Allah and the speech of the created being. So they, those people, the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, they do not make a distinction between Allah and between the created being. And Allah's refuge is sought. As a result of their stupidity in understanding and in intellect. So Allah the Majestic and Most High speaks in reality with speech that is heard. And the Quran is from the speech of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Allah spoke with it, and He spoke with the Tawrat, and He spoke with the Injil, and He speaks whenever He wishes, if He wishes, He the Perfect and Most High. So His speech is from His actions, He the Majestic and Most High. And His actions have no end and no beginning. He speaks whenever He wishes, when He wishes, with whatever He wishes, He the Majestic and Most High. So Al-Kalam, speech, is an attribute of His, from His attributes which are actions. And He said, He's saying, Minhu subhanahu la min ghayrihi. It was from Him, He the Perfect, not from anyone besides Him. Shaykh Fawzan said, not from the shajara, not from the tree or bush. In the speech that Musa heard, it was from Him, it was from Allah the Most High. As He said, not from other than Him. Shaykh Fawzan said, not from the bush, not from the preserved tablet, not from Jibreel, and not from Muhammad. So it is speech which emanated from Allah in reality. And Jibreel and Muhammad only conveyed and transmitted from Allah the Majestic and Most High. He said, the same for man qala ghayra hadha faqad kafara billahi al-azim. And whoever says other than this, then he has disbelieved in Allah the Tremendous. Shaykh Fawzan said, whoever says that the speech of Allah is created, that the speech of Allah is something created, and that Allah does not speak, and he deprives Allah of speech, then he is a kafir, he is a disbeliever, because he is denying the truth of what Allah has said, and His Messenger, and the consensus of the Muslims. O Allah, unless he is an ignorant person, or one who is performing incorrect interpretation, or muqallid, blindly following somebody he has good thought about, somebody he has good thoughts about, then this person, it is to be made clear to him. And if he then persists, then he is judged to be a disbeliever. Because Allah the Majestic and Most High rebuked the people of Shirk for the fact that they worshipped statues which do not speak. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Ya Abati, lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa la yubsiru wa la yughni anka shay'a. Surah Maryam, the 19th Surah, Ayah 42. With the explanation, Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his father, "O my father, why do you worship that which cannot hear and not see and cannot benefit you with anything?" He said, and he said to the disbelievers, those who worship the idols, فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِن كَانُوا يَمْتِقُونَ. Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st Surah, Ayah 63, with the explanation. So ask them if they are able to speak. Go and ask those idols then. Go and ask them if it is that they can speak. Of course, they couldn't speak. He said, and Allah, the Majestic and Most High, said in Surah Bani Israel, وَاتَّخَذَ قَوْمُ مُوسَى مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ حُلِّيِّهِمْ إِجْلًا جَسَدًا لَهُ خُوَارٌ أَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّهُ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, Ayah 148. With the explanation, and the people of Musa, after he had departed, made from their ornaments the statue of a calf, which produced a mooing sound. Could they not see that it could not speak to them? Jafarzan said, they took it as an object of worship. Jafarzan said, so this proves that the Lord speaks, He the Perfect and Most High. And that was the reputation of them. Couldn't they see this thing, this object they just made? Can't even speak to them? Shaykh Fawzan said, so this proves that the Lord, the Rabb, speaks, He the Perfect and Most High, and that the one who does not speak is not a Lord. How could He then command? And how could He prohibit? And how could He regulate affairs when He does not speak, and He cannot speak? High and exalted is Allah above that. And that occurs in Surah Taha, أَلَّا يَرْجُعُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَوْلًا وَلَا يَمْلِكُ لَهُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا. Surah Taha, 20th Surah, 79, with the explanation that it does not say anything to them in return and does not possess any harm or benefit for them. Shaykh Fawzan said, أَلَّا يَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَوْلًا. Can they see that it can't say anything to them in return? Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning, does not respond to them when they address it. And finally, the next point we will take as the final point today, inshaAllah, point number 73, the saying of Imam al-Barwahari, rahimahullah, وَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الشَّرَّ وَالْخَيْرَ بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدَرِهِ. And know that evil and good occur by the pre-decree and preordainment of Allah. And just as a side point, this point occurs in some of the versions and is not found in some of the other versions. Allahu A'lam. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said, in this short explanation of this point, he said, it is obligatory to have iman, true faith, in preordainment and pre-decree, and that everything which occurs in this creation, then it does not occur randomly, it does not occur by chance, randomly. Rather, it is something which has been decreed and written in the preserved tablet, Allah al-Mahfuz. And Allah, the Majestic and Most High, knew it, Allah the Majestic and Most High knew it, and He wrote it in the preserved tablet. Then He ordained it, then He created it, and He brought it into existence and willed it. Nothing is found in this creation without its having been already, or without its having been preceded by Allah's preordainment and pre-decree. Everything has been preordained, and from that is good and evil. The good which occurs to mankind is by the preordainment and pre-decree of Allah, and the evil which occurs for them, then it is by the preordainment of Allah and His pre-decree. and disbelief and true faith, and sickness and health, and hunger and being full, and wealth and poverty. All of this is by the preordainment and pre-decree of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Subhanallah, wa bihamdihi, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.